Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
And welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, CEO of Employee Cycle, Bruce Marable. And you know what I'm going to say, Employee Cycle is here for you. If you're still building those messy spreadsheet-driven HR dashboards, trying to impress your CFO and trying to share data throughout your organization, and you're just tired of the struggle, because we know the spreadsheet struggle is real, then you need to come over to Employee Cycle, the all-in-one HR dashboard that connects to all your different HR systems to pull all your people data into one real-time, beautiful HR dashboard. But that is enough about me and our company, because today we have a very special guest. So if you could help me, welcome to the podcast, Lauren Williams, Chief Boss Lady, founder of Harmony HR Experts. And today we're going to discuss how HR can win the war on talent. Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Thank Lauren! You.
Welcome.
Thank you for that lovely welcome. That was wonderful. It's very nice to be here and very nice to talk with you again.
Great, great. Thank you so much for taking time to what seems to be is a lot of wisdom dropping in this episode. But we always have to start off the interview the same way, because people need to know who you are, where you come from, and what you've been doing. So if you could tell our audience, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Absolutely. So I like to describe myself as an HR troublemaker, or HR firecracker, if you will. That is, I really don't follow rules. I'm not really a typical what you think of as HR person. I am the last person to recommend a policy or procedure. I mostly break them a lot. So I'm kind of the anti-HR person, if you will. And I fell into the wonderful world of people operations through working in finance and accounting for very small startups and loving that work, but not loving it as much as when I got to do human resources kind of work in that company. So I moved over and took a leap into human resources. That was about 15, 16 years ago and never looked back. I got to work in some really fantastic startups and became very, very much heavily involved in organizational dynamics, organizational development, how to lead really effective teams, how to empower employees, and how having a very strong culture and corporate sense of responsibility can retain those high performers and help make you an employer of choice, as well as just create these phenomenal results. So I've kind of crafted my work and have started my own consulting business geared towards the employee experience, geared towards what small businesses can do to attract, retain, empower, and engage their employees. And I'm just out there crushing it every day.
Awesome. And I just have to go back to something you said, HR troublemaker, HR firecracker. I love that. But if HR isn't following the rules, then who is?
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, you don't necessarily have to all march to that same beat. I think as long as you're acting in a spirit of goodwill and putting your best foot forward and making sure people are treated fairly and equally, you're doing okay, right? So usually head of compliance is usually writing the rules, and I will have them by my side, but I can't help that I'm just a natural born rebel and I don't do great at following rules.
Love it. Love it. Well, there are no rules on this podcast, so you should feel right at home.
Oh, I do. I think it's why I feel so great. Yeah.
All right. So the topic today is how HR can win the war on talent. So I know every single HR person understands what the war on talent is. There's so many articles and podcasts and events and conferences about the war on talent. But from your own words, since you're the one being interviewed right now about this topic, what is the war on talent and what is it all about?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And you're right. It's the top of mind for everyone, even those that aren't in HR. It's probably one of the top things keeping leaders up at night, keeping executives up at night, is finding, securing, and retaining the best people for your team, the best people to take your organization to the next level. And when we say the war on talent, we're not just being dramatic. It's really that the labor market is so good and so healthy and so vibrant. It's very easy for job seekers to get jobs and be very, very choosy. So similar to a housing market, when it's a buyer's market, it's very easy to buy a home, and you have to make your home stand out, and you have to make your home look extra special and be the one that people want. And we say the war on talent, you've got to make your organization, your employer brand really, really stick out and make the candidate walk away saying, I don't want to work anywhere else. I have to get this job. And so it's a very competitive market. You have recruiters and talent acquisition professionals searching for talent that might not necessarily be looking. So that's why you have companies and recruiters calling into companies trying to pull talent away. It's very aggressive job market. So they're going to try to take away your A players and put them in to their organization. It's also a market where people aren't afraid to jump and go get another job. So if they're not 100% happy, if they're not feeling supported by their manager, if they're not feeling empowered, they're going to leave, and sometimes leave without another job because it's that good that they know they'll go get one.
Got it. So one of the reasons why a lot of listeners love our podcast is because we try to make it as actionable as possible, meaning asking you a lot of questions so that you could really sum up a game plan for the listeners to be able to go back into their office or home or wherever they work from and then come up with a strategy so that they could actually win the war on talent. So how about we start off with how companies and HR are being negatively affected by this war on talent? What can you do in order to combat the war on talent, and then how do you continue to keep your own employees from being poached? Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in regards to how HR, and not just HR, but just companies in general, are being negatively affected by the war on talent, you spoke about it a little bit already, but let's go into more granular detail. How are companies really being affected? Is this affecting their hiring costs? Is it similar to the housing market? And it's interesting because my wife is a realtor, so I hear about this all the time. But in Philly right now, there is a housing shortage. And so it is taking her sometimes two or three times as long for her to help a client buy a house than normal because the homes are just off the market as soon as they're listed. And so similar to that analogy that you made, is it forcing companies to hire people more slowly, or is it taking longer? What exactly is going on, and how is it negatively affecting companies today?
Yeah, so I think that's exactly a great point, that it is affecting them from a lot of different angles. You know, you think of talent, you think, oh, the cost of hiring. It's actually more than that. So when you are bringing someone into an organization, the pull and strain that takes on your company from management to administrative staff to others on the team, the people involved in interviewing, that's a lot. And that's a lot of dollars spent on finding that right person. So organizations are being negatively impacted by this because they need to keep the people they have in their seats, especially the high performers, because the cost to replace one of them is somewhere around three times their salary when it's all said and done. And when you look at the strain on the organization, you look at the cost to bring someone in, get them ramped up, the loss of productivity, the loss of the team dynamic where you have this high performing team, you take one person out, you can't just plug a new person in and expect everyone to keep running. There's a little bit of a strain there as well. And just the cost of knowledge that walks out the door when you lose someone. So the cost of the turnover is very, very high. So that's one aspect that how it's negatively affecting them. Additionally, you have these recruiters calling into your organization every day, enticing your people with opportunity that sounds better, looks better. It's an opportunity possibly for more money, a shorter commute, more learning opportunity, more growth development, doing something they love to do. So maybe you have a programmer who every day just codes in your base code and doesn't get to touch anything exciting, doesn't get to really do anything innovative. And they get a call that, hey, we're doing this brand new startup and we'd love for you to come and join our programming team. You get to work on something super exciting and sexy from a development standpoint. And that's very appealing. So now you have this market where people are getting calls sometimes every day to come out. They have LinkedIn at their fingertips. They're getting messages on there. What are you doing to hold on to them so they don't walk out the door? What are you doing to make them ignore those messages, not take those calls, and not respond saying, oh yeah, I'd be interested in hearing more? Because once they're interested in that, they're interested in leaving your organization.
Got it. So one of the things that I've been scratching my head about is, how does this war on talent exist and come about? Because although stats seem to show that then the unemployment rate is pretty low, there's still a lot of people that aren't working. Mm-hmm. And so is the problem more that there's not enough skilled labor, or that we just don't have enough people? What is really the problem that's driving this?
Well, I think when you look at the people that aren't working, you have to look at it in from different angles and perspectives of, are they being more choosy about the opportunity they want to take? We also live in this gig economy where everyone can go out and do all these side hustles and make enough that they don't need a main hustle. They're not in a hurry to go find their next 9-to-5 because right now they're making enough Uber, Lyfting, whatever it is that they may be doing. They're not as required to work a consistent full-time job as in the past when you didn't have various avenues for making and earning additional income like you do now. So you have these very passive candidates, these very passive job seekers. Additionally, the roles that are being hired for today require a different set of skills than in the past. And what I mean by that is organizations are looking for individuals that are agile, able to work really smart, efficiently, work harder. I mean, work smarter and not harder. So they're looking for individuals who bring something unique to the table, who add a new perspective and have new ideas. And that kind of plays into why there may be job seekers out there who aren't adapting to the new kind of work environment, I'll say.
Is this war on talent problem only affecting specific high-skilled, high-wage employers, or is this war on talent affecting companies and industries across the board? Is this also affecting people in hospitality or retail or other industries where you have low wages or paying minimum wage?
Yeah, I think it's affecting all industries and all employers because it's just easy to get a job. It's easy to go out and make money, which is awesome. It's awesome for people who aren't sure what their next step is. It's awesome for people who are in transition and figuring that out. But it's across industries, restaurants, and whether they're tech industries or whether they're more blue collar type of roles. The thing is, job seekers have a multitude of choices in front of them. It's not just, oh, I applied to this company and I really hope they call. They have so many irons in the fire that they have the space and capacity to really make smart decisions and not just leap at an employer. And what that means for an employer is they've really got to set themselves apart. What makes you different than the 5 other companies this construction worker applied to? I mean, the job may be the same in each organization, but what's really different? What's the hook? What's going to keep them there?
So we're about to go into the part where we actually talk about how do you solve this problem. But I do want to ask an odd question in regards to the problem. Are all industries losing with the war on talent, or are there any winners here? And I don't know if there are, but are there any industries that benefit from there being a war on talent, or pretty much affects everyone?
Well, certainly the recruiters and the talent acquisition professionals are in a time when they are probably really highly successful because there is a huge demand to find talent, find the right talent. It also makes their jobs a little harder in the fact that, you know, it's sometimes searching for a needle in a haystack. And so that can be challenging at times. I don't know if there's any industry or organization or type of company that's winning the war on talent. I will say those that aren't struggling with it are those that are very, very good with employee retention.
Great. So that was a great segue into talking about types of companies that are doing a good job of hiring and still hiring great talent throughout the war on talent in this, you know, tight economy. If there are there any examples of companies that you can think of that you believe are doing it well for our audience to look at look to?
Companies that do it well in terms of employee retention?
Yeah, employer retention, but then also they seem like they know what they're doing and they're able to navigate the waters throughout this war on talent and still be able to hire the people that they need to.
Well, I think, I don't know if I could point to any one specific company, but I think what you can do is take some best practices from various companies and look at what would fit into your own organization and piece that together to make it kind of your own. So, I mean, I know we want to get into what companies can do, but for example, if you see that, you know, Netflix has this great culture piece and you want to pull that in, and there's another company that has a great unlimited paid time off opportunity and benefit and you want to weave that in, or you see that there's a certain company doing social responsibility really well, kind of research those, see what fits in with what you can do and what makes sense and what your employees would want and what would resonate with them most. Like something, everything that Google or Salesforce or any of those big guys are doing to retain employees, that might not fit your company or your culture or what your employees are into or what matters to them. I know it's really interesting, employers like Urban, and they have all these awesome perks and awesome things that employees really want that resonate. And I think they've done a fantastic job at finding out what employees want, what will keep them motivated and engaged while working there. And, you know, it's some very out of the box stuff that most employers don't have in place or wouldn't even consider.
So for the HR leaders listening, saying, you know, Lauren, I hear you. I can definitely look at these culture decks from Netflix and a lot of other things, but I would really like to hear from you some of the things that I can overcome today, or I can at least start putting a plan with today. What does that look like? What can I do to assess my current employer brand or retention plan or perks or whatever I'm doing to make sure that it's the best possible so that we're attracting the talent that we need to hire?
Absolutely. So that's kind of my favorite thing to do with leaders is sit down, come alongside them as a partner, and really understand before you dive into what we need to do, let's look at what you are doing. Let's pull out the positives. Let's pull out the things that are going really well and that resonate with people. Right away, people want to dive into what do I have to change? And I think before you get there, you have to step back and say, what am I doing well? What am I doing right? And then you can dive into what things maybe aren't setting people's, you know, hair on fire and they're not super pumped about this. What things could we kind of adjust or pivot and kind of change how we're doing these? And that's one way you can start without feeling, you know, overwhelmed or that you need to implement all these new ideas at once and take on all this expense. Because the great thing is employee retention, it doesn't always have to be a really costly initiative. And some of the things you're doing are probably working really well. So don't reinvent the wheel, but look at ways you can enhance what you're already doing. And then look at some ways to kind of refresh what you have out there and maybe add in some new perks, some new ways to keep people going. And I think it's always good to talk with the employees directly and either through surveys or just really open conversations about put together a culture committee, put together a group of folks who are into being in charge of all the fun initiatives, or put together a group of folks who are passionate about employee relaxation and ways that they can share travel blogs or things they can do with their time off. And none of this has to be super costly. It just, you have to be intentional.
Are there any top perks or like the top three or top five list of things that most employees want today? And if so, can you share some of those things that, regardless of the type of company you are or industry or location, you should be doing some of these things to make sure that you're hiring or retaining the best people?
Absolutely. Yes. To answer your question, yes, there are a couple top key things that are really important. And this particularly is true for millennials and Gen Z, which no matter what industry or organization you are, you're going to be hiring more and more of these folks into your organization and need to be aware of how the dynamic and the needs have changed. So first, one of the big things that I recommend and I talk with a lot of my clients about is, what does their paid time off look like, and how can they refresh or revamp that to be easier to understand, easier to leverage, and give their employees, but really give millennials who travel more than any other generation, and really time off is very, very important. Millennials spend more than any generation in travel in the shortest amount of time. So it's important that you're providing a really good system for them to do that, whether that's unlimited PTO, which I've seen work very well. And it all starts with trust at the top and with leadership. I think that's a huge way to look at the perks you're giving your employees, is to evaluate your PTO. I think your benefits, like your general benefits, whether that's health and life insurance and pet insurance and long-term care, make sure that you're giving your employees enough of an opportunity to be well and be healthy and take care of themselves, both now and in the long term. I think really robust wellness programs and mental health initiatives are critical to today's workforce. I think that any HR professional who is actively seeking ways to encourage the discussion around mental health in a workplace is far, far above the others who aren't, in terms of being on the front lines of what's keeping employees up at night and what employees are bringing into work. I think wellness is so critical to a thriving organization. I've seen when wellness programs are executed really well, cultures thrive, employees thrive, productivity goes through the roof. So I'm a big proponent for wellness and mental health awareness in the workplace as well. And I will say, I know you asked for five that are really good. I will say that I agree that snacks go a long way. I am a big proponent of snacks and coffee and healthy options in an office. So while you don't want to just put out a couple bag of Fritos and call it a day, having some healthy options to keep people going throughout the day, and when the 2 o'clock slump hits, be able to grab something that's going to energize them and keep them going. I think that's also a really, really nice perk. And just having an environment where people feel they can have fun in an office. You spend so much time with your coworkers, it's absurd, but you need to have fun with those people, and you need to be in an environment where it's okay to have fun. I was talking with someone the other day who started a new job, and he was rallying his team, and he was so passionate and so excited. And he said that one of the VPs came out of their office and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, can you keep it down out here? The cheering is a little too much." And I was like, oh man, she just completely killed your vibe, in addition to destroyed your team dynamic you're working so hard to build. And like, you were just trying to build fun in this environment. So I'd say that it's really important that HR work with leaders to build an environment that's fun and friendly and open. And if that doesn't necessarily fit your culture or your program or what you're doing, how can you do that? Are there ways you can do that? Because that goes a long way as well.
Got it. And then last question before we go to the lightning round, and that's for any HR people ops leader out there listening who is just so frustrated with the lack of candidates or qualified candidates out there, frustrated with recruiters that may or may not work, and just frustrated with the whole process because it's gotten so much harder to hire and retain talent. What do you have to say to them?
Keep your head up. It'll get better. Don't feel down. And it is a challenge. It is a challenge to keep and retain and find the right people. It's hard work. And if you're feeling very distraught or you're feeling like you can't go at it alone and you need some support, certainly feel free to reach out to me. It can sometimes be as easy as looking at your job descriptions and revamping them and writing them in really appealing ways that people read them and think, I would be a fool not to apply to this company. Or if you're having poachers call your organization day in and day out, poachers being recruiters that call in and try to get your top talent, make sure you're having conversations with the folks in those chairs to say, you know, how's it going here? What can I do for you? What's the next step in your career? How can I help you get there? How can I help you think about that? What do you need from me to be more supportive? Make sure your managers are comfortable having those conversations and make sure they're listening, because you can ask me all day what I want, but if you don't listen, you might as well not even ask me.
Awesome.
Was that too sassy?
No, it was great. I mean, that's you.
That's me. I can't help it.
All about being authentic on this podcast. It's for HR. All about being authentic. So now we're going to move into my favorite part of the podcast, which is what I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous. Are you ready?
Yes, I cannot wait.
All right. So the real question, do you like to eat bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
So I'm originally from Lancaster County, PA, and it's in our DNA to devour bread pudding in all forms, anyway. But honestly, I am a big fan of it at Thanksgiving. I think it is very good to have with your turkey, and it's an amazing kind of savory dish, like a filling almost. That is my favorite way to have it.
Got it. So now the random question. What's the most random job that you've ever had?
Oh, Bruce. Oh, I love you. Anyone who knows me knows I've had at least 16 entirely random jobs in my life. I can list several that are super random. Construction work flagger, pizza delivery woman, florist, DJ.
DJ
for years until I got kicked out for blowing out speakers. You're not supposed to do that at clubs, but you know, when the rhythm gets you, it gets you. You can't stop.
Nice.
So I've held the most random jobs, and I think that's why I have such an appreciation for what I do now. I have done a lot of hard, crappy jobs, and I was a lifeguard. I was just all sorts of really random things. And it made me appreciate the workforce and the work I do now so much more.
Awesome. And then the last question, the ridiculous one. We've been talking about the war on talent and how easy it is for talent to get poached. What do you think is one of the most ridiculous reasons why candidates are leaving jobs and just jumping so freely from job to job?
So one of the most ridiculous reasons I've ever heard, and it's ridiculous to me, but probably a lot of people are like, that's not at all. But I've seen people jump jobs to go somewhere where you could take your dog to work. Yeah. Well, that was my reaction, but apparently it's a thing. Take your dog to work and people want it and they will leave your organization if you don't think about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I guess enough about that. All I have to say about that is wow. Well, you nailed those questions and you gave us such an amazing interview. So Lauren, thanks so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast. Woo!
Lauren! Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. I just love talking with you. You're amazing. I love what you're doing. I love Employee Cycle. I'm a huge fan.
And what's also great is that this is your very first podcast.
I know. How did I do?
I think you did great.
Yay! You're just saying that. Yay! Fantastic. No,
I wouldn't lie to you. So where can people find you as the chief boss lady online and your company? Where can you find them both?
So you can find me on Twitter at Lauren Shazam with two Z's, obviously. And you can find me on Instagram, Harmony HR Experts. You can check out my blog on my website, which is harmonyhrexperts.com. And you can find me on Facebook with the same handle. And I am on LinkedIn a lot, so check out my post and my articles and information there as well.
I'm impressed. All the socials.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
So if you do nothing else, please follow me on Twitter because I really want to get more followers.
All right. Well, this has now become the Twitter follower podcast. And so if you want more Twitter followers, come on the Employee Cycle podcast because we can help you with that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Bruce.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So everyone listening, thank you so much for listening because we would be nothing without you and your amazing listenership. I think that's a word. Readership for books, listenership for podcasts. Why not? That's where we're going to go with. So if this was your first time listening to the podcast because you saw this promoted somewhere and you already knew Lauren, or you just wanted to check it out because you thought that the title and the topic was interesting, but now you realize, hey, Employee Cycle has a great podcast and I want to keep listening. Well, make sure that you subscribe to Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever podcast player you use to listen to awesome podcasts. Also, if you did like this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating because that shows that you care. And it also shows that we're doing a good job here. I mean, who doesn't want a 5-star rating? But last but not least, all you HR and people ops leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.
This episode of the Employee Cycle podcast was edited and produced by Lux Podcast Production. Lux is a creative audio suite that helps clients create, market, and measure their show. Visit luxpodcasts.com to learn how a podcast can benefit your organization. That's LUXE podcasts.com.